This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, the ACLJ launches new investigation into Jim Comey's spies.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Well, after Bob Mueller made a mess of his entire report yesterday live in front of the American people and the world for, I think, 6 hours on television, I told you the ACLJ, as we said the day before the Mueller hearings, we're going to get right on this issue of Jim Comey's spies at the White House that he had at the National Security Council. We'll walk you through the story again if you weren't joining us earlier in the week on the broadcast, or if you've gotten, you know, information overload. But we are filing our FOIAs with the FBI and Department of Justice today. These FOIAs ask very simply for three pieces of information I have in my hand here for you. All records concerning or relating in any manner of communication of former FBI Director Jim Comey, with or about including email messages, CCs or BCC email messages, of any and records of James Comey regarding Anthony Ferranti. He was James Comey's spy at the White House, was on the National Security Council, but kept his FBI status while he was there and could not be removed by the White House from the National Security Council. It also asks for all information involving Jordan Ray Kelly, who replaced Anthony Ferranti, and Tashina Gower. Tashina Gower is still an assistant attorney general at the Department of Justice in their National Security Division. Her focus, get this, FISA court. That's her focus. She was the go-between for Jim Comey and the Department of Justice and these assets that they had placed inside the Trump administration. We've also asked for all records relating to General Counsel Jim Baker. He was Jim Comey's attorney. Andrew McCabe's info, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, James Rubicki. The list goes on of individuals with inside the FBI. Any email messages or CC messages regarding Anthony Ferranti, his replacement Jordan Ray Kelly, or Tashina Gower. And, I love this, part three, all of James Comey's emails from April 1st, 2016 to May 31st, 2017. And of course, if the FBI doesn't comply, and of course they're overseen by the Department of Justice, we will take this to federal court. So, we don't just take yesterday's failure by Bob Mueller to defend the indefensible. As the president said, when you have bad material, there's not so much you can do with it. When your words on paper make even less sense when read out loud, but we're continuing the fight here. There's a lot to get to on how this all started, and I think we've added more players now. We now know some new players to this, Than. We have the National Security Council folks who were there, placed by Jim Comey, but could not be removed, kept their FBI status. They could move between the National Security Council and the FBI on a 24-hour basis. I mean, it was like not like they had to leave their position. They had access to go back and forth at will. And then we now know about this FISA court attorney who was kind of the main go-between for them.
Yeah, a couple of things, Jordan. First of all, I think James Comey got too cute by half by sending these detailees over to the White House, but then allowing them to come back. Jordan, that action actually gives us greater access to pursue these records under FOIA because they came back to the FBI. That's actually how we're trying to get these communications. But Jordan, I want to underscore one thing that you pointed out. We have noticed in our previous FOIAs that when James Comey did things like this, he usually included the same group of folks around him, sort of a circle of corruption, starting with James Baker, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, James Rubicki, and others. Jordan, that's why we're asking for those communications as well. We don't know how deep this corruption went. It looks to me like it went to at least Anthony Ferranti and Jordan Ray Kelly. We want to know how deep it went. And like you said, if some of these folks who are still there, were they involved, Jordan? We're going to find out.
Yeah, this is all about investigating the investigators and the new information that comes to light. It is shocking that Jim Comey, as bad of an actor as he was, had spies inside the Trump White House, on the National Security Council, with access to the most sensitive of information. 1-800-684-3110. If you got comments on that, we're taking action. If you got comments on the Mueller report, this is your day to do it, because I'm not going to keep talking about that. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
That's 1-800-684-3110. I just want to remind you of this headline. Justice Department watchdog has evidence Comey probed Trump on the sly. This is a report from Real Clear Investigations, part of Real Clear Politics, about Comey's spies inside the Trump administration, inside the White House, on the National Security Council. We know, for instance, that it involved Anthony Ferranti, who, while at the Department of while on the National Security Council, kept a status with the FBI so that he could stay on and go in between the FBI and White House. And get this, the White House could not remove him. So there was Comey's first spy, Anthony Ferranti. Then he gets replaced by another individual that we've asked for the information on, Jordan Ray Kelly. They interact with one of Sally Yates' deputies at the Department of Justice, who is still at the DOJ, whose focus as an assistant attorney general is on FISA court. Her name is Tashina Gower. We have filed, I've got it in my hands for you right here, there's three different letters we have to send out, the FOIA request, but it's one FOIA in total, to the Department of Justice, and then, of course, the relevant departments and FBI, for all of the information and records and communications relating to Jim Comey and these individuals, Anthony Ferranti, Jordan Ray Kelly, and Tashina Gower, and all the deputies and the people like Lisa Page, Peter Strzok. I mean, we can go through all of it with you again. But I wanted to remind you about, Than, I think it's important to walk people through why we're filing this FOIA. I know we had the Mueller investigation in the middle of that, the report and his testimony in the middle of that, this news story. But we told people that day we were going to take action. We are doing that as we speak right now. These FOIAs are going out to the Department of Justice and the FBI. So the ACLJ is investigating Jim Comey's spies and information. But we got to remind people that, what happened here, and Jim Comey had a special position created and special status set up at the FBI so he could have his spooks over at the White House.
Yeah, he called it the FBI Reserve, Jordan. It's not that unusual for FBI detailees to go over to the White House, but generally when you do that, especially to serve in a national security capacity as these individuals did, you would switch your loyalty, Jordan. It's not that you would switch it. It's that you would be advising the president, the commander-in-chief on national security matters. You would not have a higher loyalty to the FBI, which it appears that these individuals had, since the White House did not have the ability to relieve them of duty. So think about it. You go over to serve the president. president in a national security capacity, but you're reporting back to the FBI. That sure sounds like a spy for the agency. Now, we know that James Clapper and Jim Comey don't think that surveillance is spying, but Jordan is putting personal assets, human assets inside the White House. I mean, is that spying? That's what we're trying to get to the bottom of. And again, I just want to point this out. I think James Comey set his own trap here, because by bringing these individuals back to the FBI, we can FOIA their records. We're going to get these communications. We're going to find out exactly what this plan was.
You know, my dad is a counsel to the press. He was on last night. He was on. He did MSNBC. He did Fox. He did CNN. He did Fox again this morning. I was on Fox Business this morning as part of that legal team as well. But we are not, again, standing by and just saying, well, Bob Mueller was horrendous. It didn't move the needle at all. I do think that's better for the country. But as I said on Fox Business this morning, I think Bob Mueller deserves to apologize to the American people, because he dragged us through this, not about Russia interfering with our election and figuring out how to stop that or prevent that and other countries from doing so, but from accusing our president of somehow being some agent for the Russian government. And then when clearing that up, not just putting it into this. So although we had this comment came in, Sherry on Facebook writes in, part of me feels sorry for Mueller. The Dems used him. Now they're done with him and his legacy is broken. I'm not shedding a tear for Bob Mueller. I don't feel bad for him. He decided to put his name on a report he didn't read. He decided to take this job. He decided to continue on with this legal strategies that he can't even defend. Whether it's on the obstruction issue, whether it's on the Russia issue, or as my dad broke on television last night, it took Bob Mueller a year to figure out, and his team, that you can't even prosecute a sitting president. That they don't have the Office of Legal Counsel memo they kept referring to, Bob Mueller was completely unfamiliar with. And those are the best prosecutors in the country. You know why? They never tried to take down a president before. A very tough president. And a president who wasn't guilty of a single thing. Except for being Donald Trump and trying to shake up Washington, D.C., which is why people elected him. So again, I think it was one of those days where we did all the interviews. We will take your phone calls on if you want to talk about Mueller, because I get why you want to vent. You have questions at 1-800-684-3110. But I just want to let you know, we don't take a day sitting down at the ACLJ and say, oh, that's great, that's wonderful, let's just focus on that. We're filing these FOIAs right now because there's a lot to get to about who was behind all of this, how this all started, the individuals who were taking government positions at the highest level and the most secure levels with the highest access to classified information, who were supposed to be advising the President of the United States and the White House team, but instead were spying for Jim Comey and Sally Yates. And we have their names. We know their positions now. Now we can file the FOIA, and that's what we're doing at the American Center for Law and Justice. It's why it's a great time to support the work of the ACLJ. We have a matching challenge the month of July. Whatever you donate is doubled. This all takes resources, because we know when we file these FOIAs, we're prepared to go to federal court to get the information. This isn't short term. It isn't quick, because the deep state fights back. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org, a great time to donate financially to the work that we're doing as we, the ACLJ, begin the investigation into Jim Comey's spies at the Trump White House. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phones. Zach in California on line one. Zach, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. Thanks for having me on the air. I was listening to some key points from CNBC on Mueller's meeting with Congress yesterday.
Yep.
And between that meeting, or the key points, and your guys' broadcast, it was incredible how much they have spun it to make it look like,
sure,
Mueller totally just had the president by the necktie.
I get what you're saying. The truth is, Bob Mueller can't convict anyone of anything. So he also can't exonerate you. Bob Mueller embarrassed himself. It's why, turn on some news right now, see how much is covering Bob Mueller. Do you see them recapping and playing long portions of Bob Mueller? Yeah, they're going to talk about it for a little bit on morning news, obviously. But throughout the day, it's like Bob Mueller was never there yesterday. That was 6 hours, Than, of coverage, of end-to-end coverage on every major channel, not just cable news. I know a lot of our listeners are into the news. They follow it closely. So they may not realize it was ABC, CBS, NBC covering this from end to end on the networks, and it's like it never happened today.
Jordan, I watched every minute of it except for maybe the moments I was on air with you when the Intel committee was starting, and I was exhausted by the end. But it was really just a loop, Jordan. I mean, he was trying desperately to stay within the four corners of his report. The problem was he didn't know where those four corners were. He had to be continually reminded, not just by Republicans, Jordan. I mean, even Adam Schiff, of all people, who was there to prop up the special counsel, had to repeatedly remind the special counsel, no, I'm actually reading from your report. What I'm saying are your words. You're the ones that are supposed to stand behind them. Jordan, I do think his staff traded on his reputation, but I think you said it right. He let them do that. He signed the report, and so he deserved yesterday.
He's not 100 years old. I mean, you know, they act like he's so old. He's so they decided to make him special counsel. Here is Juan Williams. I think he said it exactly how I said it yesterday, which is when you see these guys, it's not like professional news spinners, as the caller Zach was talking about, like CNBC trying to put together for you. It's government prosecutors, and they're not so interesting by one.
Well, I don't think this was effective in terms of, remember we were talking about watch the movie if you didn't like the book or didn't have time to read the book. I don't think this is compelling television. We could do a better job here on this panel.
And that's right there focuses me, and that's Juan Williams. He's not a Republican. But the idea is that they thought Bob Mueller was going to be this. He's never been quite good in public. He was bad when he came out with his first statement. He had to have a retraction on that. But these are pretty blah guys. I mean, not to take away from their previous careers, but no tears shed for Bob Mueller. He's not 100 years old. He affirmatively decided to take this role, signed his name onto this report, and showed up to Congress yesterday with his assistant, and that didn't help him very much. I mean, he had a guy sitting there with him. Love how the networks didn't really want to show that, pointing out every page number to him after he would ask what page number a member of Congress was referring to, or ask them if it was even in the report. I mean, this is, again, it was never going to be great, but it was horrendous for the Democrats then. Yeah.
It worked to his advantage, Jordan, that he could waste time looking for page numbers. The 7-minute statement he gave was the best thing they could do because then the media could talk about it. Jordan, I did think there was one bright side for Bob Mueller. I can assure you that the Democrats are not going to invite him back. So he at least accomplished that yesterday.
I don't think we're going to see a lot from Bob Mueller. And again, I'm not taking away from his career as a veteran who served our country in Vietnam. But again, that does not clear you to go ahead and make new standards of law. Like not exonerating presidents, even though you don't have the power to decide that. And again, so no tears shed for him. He put his name on this. He decided to stand for it and put a team together of partisan lawyers. 1-800-684-3110. Support the ACLJ at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
There's an important value. Our Facebook and Periscope audience saw it because we are getting a lot of calls about the Mueller hearing, and understandably so. My dad was on with Chris Cuomo, and he talked about it with Sean Hannity, too, that Bob Mueller kept referring to that Office of Legal Counsel memo from the Department of Justice, and I've got the information even with me today, that says you cannot prosecute a sitting president. The original memo is from the 70s, was reaffirmed in 2000. No one has disputed that or tried to challenge that in court. So since it was asserted in 1970. And Bob Mueller kind of said, well, we knew that from the outset. And my dad just let everyone know last night during his interviews that that was not the case from the special counsel's team. Another time, Bob Mueller was just flat out wrong. Whether he was intentionally doing it or not is tough to know with Bob Mueller because he seems so unfamiliar with everything surrounding this. But as my dad said, they didn't recognize from the special counsel's team, including Bob Mueller, until a year after Bob Mueller was appointed, that they could not prosecute the president because that memo existed. And they've got correspondence going back and forth when they finally do acknowledge the Office of Legal Counsel policy from the Department of Justice on prosecuting a sitting president. So the fact that they go back and keep saying, oh, we started our investigation with that knowledge, is not true. And again, 1-800-684-3110. We will play that for you later on in the broadcast. There's kind of just a quick overview for us for you of Bob Mueller yesterday and the problems with his testimony. Take a listen.
I'd like to ask you the reason again that you did not indict Donald Trump is because of OLC opinion stating that you cannot indict a sitting president, correct?
That is correct. I want to add one correction to my testimony this morning. I want to go back to one thing that was said this morning by Mr. Liu, who said, and I quote, "You didn't charge the president because of the OLC opinion." That is not the correct way to say it. As we say in the report, and as I said at the opening, we did not reach a determination as to whether the president committed a crime.
They didn't even get that far. But, of course, they won't exonerate him. We're taking your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Sandra's calling in from Georgia on line 3. Sandra, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Hey, Sandra.
I'm a donor.
Thank you.
I'm a former Atlantan and so glad that Jay and your team is out there fighting for us. I was going to talk about Jim Comey, but I want to say that I watched every hour of the testimony yesterday, and it was astonishing. Like you, I have no sympathy for Mr. Mueller. People have too much blind faith in folks who are put in charge when, in fact, the staff is doing a lot of the work.
Yep.
And in this kind of momentous investigation, it's inexcusable that he was not in charge of the facts and in command of the information yesterday. I want to say thank you all for your dogged and proactive pursuit of the FOIAs against people that we need to unveil and let the sun shine in on a lot of this activity from officials who are elected, who are not elected, but who are appointed and are actually running the bad deeds underneath the radar.
You know, and it's interesting, Sandra, too, because Bob Mueller, I agree with you fully, had since April to get familiar with it. Actually, March. March is when the report went to the Attorney General, March 22nd. So they put it all with a bow on it in March. He had time to get familiar with the information, even if at that point he didn't. But he gave a press conference instead, which he had to correct, that he never wanted to talk about it again. They never wanted to testify again and thought that that would work. And then Bill Barr said, I don't care if you want to call Bob Mueller. You see now why. Because I think we all saw yesterday why every time someone has tried to say, this is what Bob Mueller told me in meetings. And then Bob Mueller's team has tried to come out and say, no, that's not what he said. Do you understand now how that happens? Bob Mueller probably did acknowledge all of that. But he will say yes, and then it takes 2 hours later. So he tells Ted Lieu, as we played in the bite, that the only reason they didn't bring charges against the president was because of the policy of the Department of Justice. 2 hours later, he has to open his second part, his second hearing, as we played for you, Than. And Than, I think this is just, this again, conversations with Bob Mueller were impossible. They were impossible yesterday. They've been very difficult for the Attorney General of the United States, who said he, you know, he sits down with Bob Mueller. He made clear it wasn't about the legal counsel memo. That wasn't the only reason why. And yet again, he comes back and says, well, actually, it wasn't about that. We never even made a determination of the whether or not the charges should be brought against the president.
Yeah, and when he started going down that road, Jordan, I thought this might be a very long afternoon, because if he was going to go back and correct every misstatement that he made during the, in front of the Judiciary Committee, that would have taken up the entire time in front of House Intel. Although I do think that correcting that wrong misstatement was substantive enough that it was good that he did it. But Jordan, here was my biggest problem. I mean, one of the biggest reasons that you appoint a special counsel in the first place is so that you have confidence in the process to get it outside of the department. And that's why they picked somebody that they thought had a reputation like Bob Mueller did. But Jordan, I would pose this question to you. How much confidence would you have had if the special counsel was Andrew Weissman, someone with the political background that it appears he had? Because after yesterday's proceedings, Jordan, I'm left with the impression that Andrew Weissman did run the show. Would that give you confidence in the process that the special counsel's team had? They picked Bob Mueller because of his reputation, but then I believe Andrew Weissman guided that shop. Quite frankly, that should give everybody pause when it comes to having confidence in the work that they did.
You know, and Andrew Weiss, these are when DOJ prosecutors who were at Hillary Clinton's election night loss party, there to try to shatter that glass ceiling. They were there. And he was the only member of that team that was there. I mean, that is what is interesting. He's not the only member of the team that was there. I think it was Jeannie Ray, who was a Clinton Foundation attorney. And Bob Mueller said, well, I knew that. But they said, well, did you know that when you hired her? No. Because I don't ask about what anyone's ever done when assembling a team to try and take down the president of the United States. I don't want to see if, you know, even though everyone knows prosecutors always look for, that's why we have recusals. When you take your ethics and your rules of professional responsibility as an attorney, the idea of just the indication of impropriety or bias, just the appearance of bias, you need to correct, because you're talking about putting people in jail, charging people with crimes and prosecuting them, ruining their lives. And so any appearance of, again, this idea that you would have people who are partisan or that somehow they were not fair, you remove. So that whole high and mighty act by Bob Mueller of I don't ask anyone anything is just I don't know anything about my team. I'm an uninformed leader. And he gets a lot of praise, but a lot of stuff happened that wasn't so great to our country while he was FBI director. Let's not forget that. FBI director for a long time. It wasn't like the greatest time period or safest time period in our country either. And yet, you know, he got all this praise for that. And you got to see Bob Mueller try to defend what was indefensible. And the ACLJ, here we are. We're not just going to harp on that today. We are immediately taking action against Jim Comey and this spy ring that he had, which is just shocking to say. But it's true. It's been verified by Real Clear Investigation, not the ACLJ come up with this. We're now filing the FOIAs to Department of Justice. We're taking action to get the info. Join us. Join the fight with the ACLJ. Support us financially if you can at ACLJ.org this month. Double the impact your donation, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Second half hour, Jay Sekulow Live. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. So we're letting folks vent on Bob Mueller. We covered it a lot yesterday. I did Fox Business this morning. My dad has done many interviews. I think you could have caught him on MSNBC, Fox News, CNN, this morning again on Fox. He's talked to the major outlets as well, the mainstream press, and I was on Fox Business this morning as well. So we've covered it that way. We've covered it on the broadcast. There's an op-ed on FoxNews.com by my dad as well on Mueller's disastrous hearing. And we are also breaking to you that we are taking action on that Jim Comey spy ring that we talked about on Tuesday on the broadcast at the White House National Security Council, that we are now taking action. We have filed a FOIA. The new FOIA from the ACLJ seeks records about fired FBI Director Jim Comey and his communications with or about any records regarding Anthony Ferranti, Jordan Ray Kelly, the people Comey apparently planted in the White House to spy for him, and Tashina Garr, who may still be working there, and as a DOJ Assistant Attorney General in charge of FISA litigation. She's still employed by the Department of Justice. We also demanded any communication with these embedded spies that Comey's infamous circle of corruption may have had. People that we've told you about before, like General Counsel to Jim Comey, Jim Baker, Deputy Acting Director, and then the Acting Director, Andrew McCabe, who was fired, Peter Strzok, who was fired, the head of counterintelligence, who was on Bob Mueller's team, who started Crossfire Hurricane, McCabe's deputy counsel, Lisa Page, Comey's chief of staff, Jim Rybicki, and again, other DOJ officials as well. We have filed the FOIA. Now, you don't always have to go to court on these FOIAs, but oftentimes the government, surprise, surprise, and the bureaucrats running these offices, like on Freedom of Information Act requests, they don't like to respond on time, and you ultimately have to take them to court to get the info. Even though we have seen a bit more responsiveness now that the Trump administration has been in place, but again, these are offices run by the bureaucrats.
Yeah, you've got to cast a wide net, Jordan, because you've got to make sure you get it to the desk of someone who's actually not involved in the information that you're actually trying to reveal. And another component of this that I think is going to be very interesting, this is sort of maybe the second layer, but during this whole timeline, a lot of people know about the briefing that Director Comey gave President Trump on January 6th. Jordan, we talked about this a couple of days ago. The day before that briefing, Jordan, Director Comey was briefing President Obama, Vice President Biden, Secretary Johnson, Sally Yates, James Clapper, Susan Rice in the Oval Office, Jordan. So what we're trying to uncover is what the whole picture of. We already know he sent the detailees over to the White House and they were allowed back to the FBI. That looks like spying. But Jordan, we want to know who in both directions, up the chain of command and down the chain of command, was involved. And we want to make sure they're all gone.
We'll get information up about this so you can see it at ACLJ.org as well. Let's get right to the phones. Joanna calling from Maine on line two. Joanna, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, it's Joanne. Thank you for taking my call. Hi. I wanted to make a statement before I ask the question. I did actually read yesterday while I was watching the Mueller report that he doesn't seem to be as bright as he used to be. So all that being said, I wanted to ask a question. As I watched it, it seemed to me that it was mostly when the Republicans were asking him questions and the clock was ticking that he would, could you repeat that?
Yeah.
Whip, you know, there was a lot of stalling tactics that I presume it to be.
He is as sharp as he was as he's been special counsel. He was even interesting in becoming FBI director again. I mean, he just turned 74. He's in good health. He decided voluntarily to take this job on. He just didn't know what was in the report. So he just didn't know how to answer questions. He couldn't answer the questions. He wasn't familiar with his team. He wasn't familiar with the report. He wasn't familiar with the language from the report. Even having an aide sit next to him and put out the page numbers for him, that aide couldn't do it quickly enough before Bob Mueller would walk into another disaster moment. 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back taking more of your phone calls.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, 1-800-684-3110. So we're taking action on Jim Comey's spies. We will take your calls on that. A lot of calls, too, about Mueller as well. So we're just to start taking phone calls. People have been holding on. I want to get right to them. People have a lot to say about what happened yesterday. Listen, it was monumental for the country, even though it was a disaster and not getting as much attention now. Because when all the major news outlets cover something from end to end, I mean, it's a big deal. Because people are seeing it who would not usually see it, you know, who don't necessarily tune into broadcasts like ours or cable news. But if you turn on NBC, so you weren't getting your daytime TV, you're getting Bob Mueller instead. I feel bad for those people who watch those shows during the daytime because that was a disaster. I'm sure a lot of them shut it off. But it was still, again, it's monumental for the country. I want to go right to the phones on this. Jerry's called in from Rhode Island on line 4. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Welcome, team. Sandra from Georgia hit it on the head. Fan hit it on the head. You brought up something interesting about him signing the report under the professional rules of responsibility but not knowing what was in it.
Yeah.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
Very interesting point. And the other thing is, I saw a soundbite from Rudy Giuliani, your father, humbled to be part of the ACLG watching that discussion. But I got to tell you, there was an expose on Mueller about all the people of both parties raving about his professionalism back when he was director of FBI, how he would not let an underling report to his office not prepared. And as I watched the sound bites, I'm like, oh my God, that's a 180 from what you used to expect of people reporting to you as director of FBI. A completely different turnaround of being unprepared in front of Congress.
Yeah, and I think, again, it's because when it was a different time when he was FBI director. I'll go to Wes on this. He clearly, this 480-page report wasn't like a clear-cut normal, if you know, he was a U.S. attorney before FBI director, bringing a prosecution or not. He clearly had not read it. He clearly didn't know the citations about it. And so, I mean, Wes, to this point, that yes, he's had this career in the military, and no one's taking that away from him. He did decide voluntarily to take this role on at 72 years old when he took the role. Not that old. Again, not that much older than the president of the United States. I mean, so these are guys who are the same, basically the same age. And he decided to take this role on, put his name down on it, signed off on this and had kept that tune about the exoneration power. He set himself up for a lot of these questions.
He did. He did. You know, and I think everybody was surprised at what appeared to be just blatant ineptitude. Lawrence Tribe, who is no friend of the president, said this: far from breathing life into the report, the tired Robert Mueller sucked the life out of it.
Yep.
What this was yesterday was a dog and pony show put on by the Democrats to try to influence the 2020 election and to sow doubts in the minds of the American people. They struggled throughout these interviews to place obstruction of justice and Russian collusion theories into Mueller's mouth. It didn't work. And as usual, with Democrats who are infected with Trump derangement syndrome, if you don't have the facts on your side, then use generalizations and smears that have no basis in fact. And that's what we were witnessing yesterday.
I mean, Than, he didn't know Jeannie Rae. He didn't know anything about Peter Strzok. He didn't know about anything about anybody that he hired.
Yeah, I mean, I think the caller made a good point that he didn't prepare for yesterday, but I think you've got to rewind 2 years, Jordan. I mean, he testified in open hearing yesterday that he was not aware of Peter Strzok's bias before adding him to the team. Jordan, the only conclusion you can draw is not only did he not interview Peter Strzok for that position, he didn't even look at his resume. I mean, if you looked at the work that Peter Strzok had just done as a member, a lead member investigating the Hillary Clinton case, even if you didn't know about his personal bias, Jordan, you would have to conclude that his professional work would make him not fit to be added to this team. He didn't just not prepare for yesterday, Jordan. He didn't prepare to hire his own team. I think he let Andrew Weissman do it, quite frankly. Didn't interview Peter Strzok, didn't look at his resume.
And as absurd as it was to have Andrew Weissman, someone so partisan, who was at a election night party for the opposing candidate, Hillary Clinton. So right there, I think that should you should be on the team, how good you are or not, because it's the appearance of impropriety, the appearance of again, that you are not going to be a fair actor, that you're not going to call this down the middle, that you are partisan in nature. But then he brings on people like Jeannie Rae. I mean, listen to this for her Wikipedia page, for goodness sakes. And Bob Mueller, I guess, look at that. Previously, Rae represented Hillary Clinton during the 2015 lawsuit regarding her private emails. She also represented ex-Obama National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes and the Clinton Foundation in a 2015 racketeering case. And this is the people you want to bring on your team, and you don't want to show that your biases, again, the appearance of bias? 1-800-684-3110. Back to the phones we go. Lisa in California. We're taking these people in order now that they're calling in. Lisa, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. Thanks for taking my call. My question, well, comment, this information about James Comey is truly shocking.
Yeah, it is. It is. Even to this point, it still shocks me that the tentacles of Jim Comey in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, it's terrifying, really. And what I want to know is, once you get your information, what's next? What can be done about this, especially if there are still people that were part of this who are still in the government?
Well, we expose it, and then, you know, again, people like Peter Strzok, they get fired. People like Lisa Page leave. You see the unraveling of, and so I think the first job is to expose the information. And now we know, Wes, there's a U.S. attorney going after this too, who can bring prosecution. So I think you do as much possible to get the info out. And there are consequences for these individuals.
Absolutely, there is. And William Barr and Durham, the U.S. attorney who's overseeing the IG's report, I mean, this is going to be a monumental thing. Unlike yesterday, which, you know, was really, you know, a disappointment and a letdown. There was no there in Mueller's testimony. What's coming out with the IG report and John Durham's report is going to be, I think, really, really monumental. You know, James Comey wrote a book called Higher Loyalty. I'm convinced his highest loyalty is to himself. He denies in the book and twice before Congress that he is investigating the president, when in fact he had launched a counter intelligence investigation into a sitting president. That is unprecedented in U.S. history. And I think that this counterintelligence investigation, Jordan, it has many tentacles. It involves, as we are finding out, and we'll find out more with this FOIA request, it involves people at the FBI. It involves people at Maine Department of Justice, as well as the intel community, people like James Clapper. There is a lot more to be found out about this. And as you said, people will be held accountable. Durham has the authority as the U.S. attorney to actually convene a grand jury and to indict people. And I think that's going to happen.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. The ACLJ is taking action on this, not just talking about this. We are now investigating Jim Comey's spy ring at the White House and taking action on what has been reported in the media, which is they're saying has also been uncovered by the Department of Justice Inspector General, and taking it right back to the Department of Justice and FBI with the FOIA request. If we have to take that to court, we will. We've already got it. It's out there. I mean, I'm holding it in my hands right now. This happened Tuesday. The Mueller hearings were going on yesterday. We were able to get this all together and get this out the door to get this information. 1-800-684-3110 to join us in another segment coming up. We're going to take another phone call right now. Mike in Illinois on Line 5. Mike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call. So real quick, we've kind of had these competing polar forces of Bill Barr and Mueller over the last month, and Mueller's testimony yesterday didn't occur in a vacuum. In context, when you compare him versus how Barr has looked publicly, this was a disaster for Mueller and the Democrats because Barr has looked tremendously credible, especially in comparison to Mueller yesterday. What do you guys think?
Yeah, no, I mean, Barr's had to testify a number of times before Congress, had to go through confirmation hearing, and has had to deal with Bob Mueller. I mean, Than, I think that is an issue. I think my dad's pointed it out on brought Sean Hannity and Chris Cuomo's television shows yesterday, and it was a fun interview to see him with Rudy Giuliani and both of them live on Sean Hannity's broadcast. But as he pointed out, I mean, it wasn't like Bob Mueller was easy to get these conversations with. So you come away from a meeting with Bob Mueller, you say one thing, and then Bob Mueller contradicts that. And now it's clear why. He wasn't running the show, so his team was contradicting even what he thought to be true.
Well, and to a certain extent, Jordan, the existence of any special counsel is going to limit what an attorney general can do. Now that that work is wrapped up, I think he can really focus in on the areas of greatest concern. And quite frankly, this goes back to the last caller's point and sort of the role that we play on the outside. Jordan, when we get information back from a FOIA, a lot of times it does have things like names of people who were involved redacted. But what we can do is spend time and resources to pinpoint where the problems are and then make those problems public. Then what happens, Jordan, is people like the Senate Judiciary Committee and even the Department of Justice who have access to the unredacted info can take the work that we've done and actually find where the problems are and either prosecute or root those people out. So the special counsel being removed, I think it does enable Bill Barr to do his job. But you know what? It's puzzle pieces, Jordan. We say this all the time, and there's a role for us to play on the outside as well.
All right, folks. We come back. Final segment, taking your phone calls. One line is open right now, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to join us on the air, grab that line, 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ. It's how we're able to turn around a request like this so quickly. It's because of your financial support. Go to ACLJ.org. If you donate today, your donation, the impact is doubled with our matching challenge month of July. That's at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, here we go. It's a final segment. We're talking Mueller. You know, we're taking the action on Jim Comey. And his spy ring. And I think we'll have to cover that a little bit more tomorrow, too, because I know people had a lot to say on Mueller today. I get that, too. People need to vent. People have questions. Bills, I got a question, too, about the hearing yesterday. Bill, calling from Wyoming on line one. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call. Hey, just Bill. A quick comment before I get to my question. What I saw on your program yesterday was that Mueller looked like a first-day student coming to class and realizing he's got a test to take and he doesn't know any of the answers.
Yeah.
Now, my question is I'm confused. They're still talking about there's something there for the president to be charged or impeached with or indicted after he's become president, even after he's left office. And the only charge I see is the fact that, like you said, is that President Trump is just Donald Trump. Could you clarify
that?
My
dad said this in an interview, and again, I think it was important to note. Bob Mueller wasn't the final say on this. The Department of Justice was. And the Attorney General has already announced, along with the Deputy Attorney General, that they are taking no action. That they have concluded there was no obstruction of justice. So the Department of Justice, Bill, has already made their decision. I think all this, you can go after the president after. They've already decided not to take that action at the Department of Justice. That there was no action to take. I want you to listen to this exchange because I think this shed lights on the whole issue. Why Bob Mueller had so much trouble? Because you're getting more of a peek inside from the legal team with the president inside what it was like dealing with the special counsel's team. This is with my dad. He was on Chris Cuomo's show on CNN last night. Take a listen.
So this was the whole thing when he did the playback of the, but for the OLC opinion, we would have done something. But then, well, that's not really what the standard was. You know what you saw today?
And
you
it was said, the standard, which is why he didn't consider prosecution of the president.
Let me tell you the truth about that.
Please.
Break you some news here.
I'd love it.
Okay. Bob Mueller testified today, and no one's accusing of lying, testified today that from the outset, this was they knew what the OLC opinion was and they were bound by it. I will tell you that's not the truth.
How so?
Because I have letters in my file when we were negotiating this. Where they did not until he was May of last year, maybe it was April of last year, acknowledge that the OLC policy.
Well, had you been bringing it up and they denied it?
Yes.
So you're saying that Bob Mueller changed his position on the OLC?
I'm saying Bob Mueller, when we first met,
will you give us the letters?
Was not, of course not.
Can I see the letters?
No.
Will you read them to me over?
Would I ask you for your letters?
Yeah. We've had this conversation too.
And I don't do that to you.
All right. So, I mean, there you go. So, the point is, again, that this whole idea, this team was off base from the start, but they had to push and fight just to get them to even acknowledge that OLC policy existed. Now, they could have challenged that policy if they wanted to, just like they said they could have subpoenaed the president, but it would take too much time. So the Democrats love that answer. It'd take too much time. I mean, that would have been a fast-track case. Yes, I think we'd probably still be in the midst of it, but if they really wanted to go down that route, they could have. And Bob Mueller admitted it, too. And listen, they always have the ultimate... which I said on Fox Business Today, I feel like it was a Jim Comey move. Jim Comey made his moves to get the special counsel appointed. He was successful. He got the special counsel appointment. The special counsel and the team with the special counsel issued their report to get an impeachment because that's as far as they could go. They failed.
Well, it's just another point, Jordan, where the special counsel changed his story halfway through the game. I mean, it was moving the goalposts frequently, not knowing what we were driving for, not knowing what answers he could give, couldn't give, just changing the goalposts. One other thing I wanted to add to this, though, Jordan, even on the political point, I mean, even if you get away from the legal case against the president, on the political point, even before this debacle, you know how many votes impeachment of the president got? 95 in the House of Representatives, controlled by Speaker Pelosi, or maybe arguably Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is controlling that chamber, but 95 votes even before this debacle, Jordan. I will predict to you that's the high water mark. The number of votes in the House of Representatives for impeachment goes down after this. So even on the political point, it's an outright loss.
They're gone for 6 weeks now, Stan? 6 weeks Congress is out of Washington, D.C.?
The House is. The Senate will be here next week and then out for the month of August.
Senate was
yeah,
not
the House is gone for the next
They're
week.
Gone. I mean, right. So this is the time. Either they go back to their districts and they had everybody saying impeach, 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 or they go back and everybody's saying, please do something else. And I think, Wes, that people are going back and saying, you know, fix some problems. Mm-hmm. If you're a Democrat, you're like, okay, let's figure out who our candidate's going to be to take on Donald Trump in the election. And by the way, no one's marking Russia as their top issue.
Yeah, all the latest polls show that 60, 70, sometimes 75% of the American people want Congress to let it go. There are so many things they're not doing. For example, all the crisis on the southern border. There is nothing on the House calendar directly dealing with this before they leave. They're simply not doing their job. There are a lot of issues facing Americans. This whole deal of trying to bring down a president is not one that the American people by and large care about. And I think this is really going to bite the Democrats in the House of Representatives in the 2020 election because the people are tired of it. And as far as all of this goes with Comey and all that's going on with the Democrats, there is so much deception and corruption involved in all of this, Jordan. And as more and more of this comes out, I think it's going to be a real wake-up call to the American people about some of their elected representatives and some of the career bureaucrats in the FBI and the Department of Justice.
There's only a few people I say I do not like. Phil Mudd is one of them on CNN. I just don't like him. Walked by him in Washington, D.C. A couple months ago. He was sitting at a restaurant. We took our team, ACLJ team, out. And again, just a guy, he's like the problem with Washington. He is the deep state actor. But even I agree with him. Okay. So, I mean, this is how broad it got. You're reading Lawrence Tribe. I'm now going to play for you Phil Mudd and agree with Phil Mudd from CNN. Take a listen, Byte 17.
Phil Mudd, two words. They should shut up. They might see some indication of wrongdoing. A, they're, as you're suggesting, they will never reach the end of this in 15 months. And B, it's going to divide America. So if you can't reach a conclusion, and if it's bad for the country, regardless of whether you see some evidence of wrongdoing, do you think that you should pursue this? I'd say, A, for reasons of America, shut up. And B, I'm not a politician. But if you think Americans are going to say, I'm going to watch this show paint drying for another 15 months. If I watch this myself and I'd say, leave me alone. Find something else like healthcare to worry about.
Leave me alone is what Phil Mudd is saying. This is a guy who gets paid to talk about things like this. It's in his wheelhouse. He's former CIA and I mean, he's a CNN analyst. And even he is saying, leave me alone. And that is what the American people are saying. I think, you know, it's absolutely right. People do want to vent on Bob Mueller. I think they're discussing this idea that, first of all, Nancy Pelosi, that press conference she had where she sounded like they were doing all this stuff and then announces they're not taking any action. Oh, we're going to fight it out in court with the president. I mean, those are not on relate. As the president's legal team, members of that, we're finding out those cases. They have nothing to do with this. And they don't prevent the House from moving forward at all on impeachment. So Nancy Pelosi's lying to you. And remember, she's sitting there next to Jerry Nadler, who voted for impeachment. So she has got problems within her caucus. And that's just bad news for the Democrat Party. Matthew's final call, I can't get to it, but it was what happens. I'm sorry about that, Matthew. We'll get Matthew a book. What happens to the DOJ to figure out what's going on with the Russian investigation? We have a U.S. attorney. We got the inspector general. We're filing FOIAs. And now I think you can really, Bob Mueller's done. Case is closed. He testified. Now I think you're going to rapidly see the information change. And it's not just info, but also actions against individuals who may have committed wrongdoing because a prosecutor has now gotten in there. Not just the IG, not just the investigator, but a prosecutor. Go to ACLJ.org. You can get updated on our investigation into Jim Comey's spies. Shocking, and I can't believe I'm saying that, but it is true. And we're getting to the bottom of it. That's at ACLJ.org. We will talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious